If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm Rachel Yucatel. Today, I got to chat with the adorable Carrie Burke. She is a writer and activist, a social media influencer, and she's only 20 years old. Carrie's new book, My Real Life Rom-Com, comes out tomorrow, September 19th, and you must get yourself a copy. She opens up about love, dating, anxiety, and what it's really like out there for young adults. And coming from another young adult, it really ups the reliability factor. I got an early copy and my daughter already stole mine. We talk about Carrie's involvement with nobully.org, how COVID affected her high school years, and get the scoop on what's happening in fashion and beauty. She also gives us a peek behind the curtain of life as an influencer. It's not all rainbows and lip gloss. So Carrie was such an honor to meet, such an honor to talk to, and I think you guys will really enjoy her. So sit back, relax, and listen to Carrie Burke. Carrie Burke, thank you so much for joining us on Misunderstood. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
So you're based in New York, yeah?
I'm based in New York.
So it's so interesting to me. You're 20, right?
Yes.
And it's crazy because you're so young. You've accomplished so much. It's pretty incredible. I want to start from the beginning, though. How did writing become a part of your life?
So I started writing as early as 8 years old. I had been learning about realistic fiction in school, and I was always fascinated that you could take these real life themes and place them inside of fictional scenarios. So that gave me the idea for, you know, fictional book series. It was a children's book called The Cupcake Club. So For years, I wrote these children's books with my mom, and that's kind of how I got my start in writing, but that was never really what I wanted to do. You know, my end game is to be a journalist. So that's what I've been doing more lately. That's what I'm studying in college. And in terms of my new book, my real life rom-com, that kind of just fell into my life naturally. Like, that was never the plan.
Right. So your book is coming out tomorrow by the time we air this, but I want to just get into those three books that became series, correct? And
yes.
Two of them became off-Broadway plays?
Correct.
I mean, explain to people, first of all, that's hard for an adult to figure out. How did you navigate that? How did that come about? I mean, obviously you wrote a great story, but tell me the details of that.
Sure. So I was kind of like born into a writer family. My mom is a celebrity ghostwriter. She was the founding editor-in-chief of Life and Style. So it's kind of in my blood. And when I pitched her this idea for a children's book series, she pitched it to her book agent and they loved the idea because there was nothing really out there that was a mother-daughter book series. So that's kind of how I got that book to come about. In terms of the off-Broadway show, it was really all about like networking. I think the two of us wrote a really great story that resonated with a lot of kids, not just about these four girls who had a cupcake club, but just really important themes like anti-bullying and like the importance of staying true to yourself, these themes that like tweens really needed to hear. So I think that's really what helped us, you know, move this book along and see so much success.
And the Cupcake Club, it went on to publish 12 books, I think, selling over 300,000 copies. And you were also in that, correct?
Yeah. So the off-Broadway musical of the Cupcake Club, I had the opportunity to star in it, which was really cool. At the time I was doing theater. So I got the opportunity to be the lead, Kylie. And that was a really fun experience. Obviously I don't do theater anymore, but that was really, really fun because nobody knows the characters better than the people who write them in the stories.
Yeah. And how much of a desire to act do you have? Did that give you the bug or you were over it because you don't do it anymore?
Zero desire. I don't do it anymore. Yeah. I think back then I was acting a lot. I was going on auditions. I was in ballet school. So I loved it back then, but now not at all.
Okay. But you won an award. It looks like you got critical praise and an award for outstanding individual performance. So you obviously did a very good job.
Thank you. I hope so.
Yeah, well, you definitely were acknowledged for it. So that's great. I think it's really spectacular, those books and the fact that it created a series for kids, because it's so important for kids to find books that they can connect with. And then once one book is over, the fact that it has other books to follow up and you get to hear more about the characters and the characters are developed. It's such a great thing for children. I have an 11-year-old daughter myself who, when I told her I was interviewing you, she was like, oh my God, she's one of my favorites. I love her. I'm obsessed. You know, the word they all use, but I think it's great that, you know, and she had read your books, you know, she knows of your books. And so I think that's a real testament to the work that you've done and how you've touched. I mean, you could sell a bunch of copies, but when you know you've touched an actual individual and see their reaction when you say their name, I think that's pretty impressive. So my hat is off to you about that. So talk to me about mental health and how it came to play in your life. How did bullying become an issue in your life that you wanted to discuss?
So I think my journey with mental health has several different layers in my life. So back then, I actually, for a long time, I was never bullied myself. So when I was writing the Cupcake Club, I was a peer mediator at my school, which meant that I would walk around the schoolyard. And if it looked like two people were having a conflict, then I would intercede and I'd help them talk through their issues.
My daughter was also in that. Did you go to PS6, by the way?
Yes, I did.
Amazing. I love that program that they have. That's hysterical.
Yes, I absolutely loved that program. I was never bullied myself, but I would like intercede and I'd help with that. So I love that program. But yeah, I think once I started in social media, that's when I really saw, or I guess felt, what it was like to be bullied, because cyberbullying is so prevalent today. And I was a public figure. I've started to gain a following on TikTok over the pandemic. And it was kind of crazy just how people, like, no matter how old they were, just could hurl such horrible words towards you online. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, that was like really difficult, obviously, for me to deal with.
And then, yeah, for sure. It's difficult for anyone at any age, but especially a child. And also you were going through such a difficult, I mean, you were of the class, the high school graduating class that did not have, that was not able to graduate in person, correct? In the year 2020?
Yeah. So I was class of 2020. I had no prom, no graduation. none of that. My first year and a half of college was online. So that was really difficult. I think just my generation had it really hard during the pandemic, as did everybody. But it's just really hard. You put in like 12 years of work at a school and you don't even get to graduate. So that was really hard.
Yeah. And you've talked openly about how that was one of the first times, correct me if I'm wrong, that you really felt the feeling of panic attacks or anxiety or depression. Talk to me about what that was like for you.
Yeah. So I'm very open about this in my real life rom-com, my new book. The last chapter is actually all about my anxiety journey. So it's a book about dating, but the last chapter I dedicate to myself and what I went through. So basically, during the pandemic, I didn't really understand what it meant to be anxious. That's not something you learn in schools today. So when I was experiencing anxiety and panic attacks, and I had all of these physical symptoms and mental symptoms, like I didn't really understand what it meant. So when I started seeing a therapist, I thought there was something wrong with me. I asked her, you know, why do I keep going to bed feeling like I can't breathe? Why am I waking up in the morning shaking? Why do I have these dark thoughts just randomly when there's nothing really wrong with my life? Mm-hmm. And I talk about this in the book that she proposes to me that it's OCD. But to me, at first, at least, I didn't believe her, because you see things like anxiety and OCD represented in the media so poorly. Like you hear the word OCD and a lot of people just think, you know, excessive cleaning or just staying super organized, when it's so much more than that. So I think when I was learning at first, it was really difficult because it was really starting from ground zero. I had no basis of education from school about it. And that's why I think talking about it openly in my book is so important, because there's really nobody who's stepping into that role today to do so.
This episode is brought to you by Kitsch. I love beauty products. So does my daughter. Sometimes I literally have to hide them so she doesn't sneak in and steal them. We are obsessed with anything that is easy to use, has great results, and saves us money. And that's where Kitsch comes in. Kitsch is a game changer in the world of beauty and hair products. Kitsch is a female-founded company that started in 2010, and now they are carried in over 20,000 retail locations. They believe everyone deserves a little indulgence, no matter your budget, your skin type, or your hair type. I change my hair up consistently and constantly, which makes it hard to keep it healthy. But Kitsch's heatless satin curling rollers help save your hair from heat damage, and their rice water shampoo bars can actually improve your overall hair growth and fullness. Who doesn't need that? Now, I know you've probably seen Kitsch's satin pillowcases, caps, and eye masks, which are great while you sleep, but for a limited time, you can live out your Barbie dream with the Barbie by Kitsch collection, featuring Kitsch's best-selling satin pillowcases in iconic Barbie pink. So this is what the company sent me. I got two gorgeous hot pink satin pillowcases. We slept on them last night. And let me tell you that I am just obsessed. I slept on one. My daughter slept on the other. She swears by it because she's so into this get ready with me stuff that she actually added it into her story this morning. She said that her skin felt better and her hair looked less messy than it usually does. For me, all I know is it felt great and it looked great on my bed. Well, right now, Kitsch is offering you 30% off your entire order at mykitsch.com/understood. That's right. You can get 30% off anything and everything at mykitsch, that's KITSCH.com/understood. One more time, it's mykitsch.com/understood for 30% off your order. Yeah, I agree. I think it's really important. What do you think is good advice for parents that have teenagers, things that they can look out for, ways they can talk to their kids? I mean, my daughter's not in her teen years yet, but she acts like it. I mean, she grew up in New York, a PS6, you know, all this stuff. And they are like 11 going on 17, you know, they are very mature. She's already started to hide things from me. She doesn't want me to get involved in things at her school. I don't know that she tells me everything. And they are so, because of COVID in my mind, they are so deep into social media, into YouTube, into TikTok. And it's a different world than someone from my generation is in. So what are some signs and tips for parents that we should be aware of?
I think the biggest thing is listening to your child. If they say there's something wrong, listen to them. Even if it sounds, you know, crazy or out of the ordinary, just listen to them. I mean, especially at a young age, our emotions fluctuate so much. So I think it's really important to just hear them out and listen non-judgmentally to what they want and what they need. And oftentimes that's just space. If they want to close the door and take a nap or read a book, don't, you know, press on them too hard. Give them the space to process their emotions themselves. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you can try again and talk to them later. But I think that's the main thing, just listening non-judgmentally. I always say, you know, this last chapter in my book in particular is a great conversation starter between moms and daughters, because you can give this to your child and say, you know, this is not a medical journal. This is not saying, you know, this is what anxiety is and here are the symptoms listed. No, this is a teenage girl who went through anxiety and here's what she felt. And showing this to your child, I think, can be a really great natural way to ease into a conversation like that.
Yeah. So bullying, it's handled so much differently now than when I was young. People were very mean. You know, when I was growing up in Manhattan, I went to an all-girls private school. That's a lot of times where a lot of the bullying festers, in between girls in particular. And, you know, I was never able to talk about it. And I had a difficult time. I ended up being sent to a boarding school because I couldn't verbalize what was going on. And I became so withdrawn. Nowadays, you see people, kids committing suicide over words that are spoken to them or fears that something is going to come out about them, whether it's sexually explicit photos or rumors that are not true, things that may be true, but that are too embarrassing to handle and they can't talk to their parents about it. You know, do you have some advice for people going through this or parents dealing with a child who seems really ostracized for things?
I think the main thing is just surrounding your child with all the love and support they need. Even if they try to push you away, realizing that it's nothing really to do with you. It's just a really hard age and we're all going through a lot. And try to introduce more things into their life that bring them joy. So
that's good advice. Yeah.
Really, really small things can bring someone joy. So for example, if you got them their favorite snack after school one day and you saw them like crack a smile for just like a second, I feel like as a mom, you pick up on those things. So just look for small things that bring your child joy and introduce more of those things organically into their life. If they play a sport and they enjoy that sport and they retreat into it a lot of the time, don't try and like push on them and try and get them to talk to you. If that sport is something that they really enjoy, then support them, go to their games. You know, just really, I think listening to your child, to what they need in the moment is important, and only really step in and talk to them when it seems like a good time.
You've been an ambassador for nobully.org. What is that?
So nobully.org is a nonprofit organization and they teach kids how to practice empathy towards each other from a young age. Like I said, there's a lack of education in schools about bullying and about mental health. And No Bully is really targeting the issue from as early as kindergarten and teaching kids how to respect each other and, you know, why bullying is bad, the consequences of bullying from as early as kindergarten. So just imagine if we all learned the importance of respecting one another from that young an age, it probably would have, you know, at least helped the issue in middle school and high school when bullying is rampant.
Yeah, absolutely. So you brought up earlier that during COVID is when you got more into social media and became somewhat of an influencer or a public figure. So for those of us that are a little older and don't understand this whole world of being an influencer, getting into that, all of a sudden having over a million followers. How did you get into that? And I know that comes with a lot of people's opinions, especially when you have such a big platform. So what's that like for you?
So in terms of how I got into it, it really just happened organically. I fell into it over the pandemic. Like everyone, I was bored at home, nothing to do. And I always enjoyed creating content. I was like a micro influencer on Instagram. I loved posting like fashion photos, but never on TikTok. I had a lot of friends in TikTok, but it was never my thing. I never saw much success on it. But over the pandemic, I just thought, you know, why not? Why not try creating videos? So I made this one fitness tutorial video that went viral overnight. It has to date about 10 million views. And that's really when my account started to take off. So
how did you do that? I think people all over the world want to know how to create a viral video. How did you do that? Was it a total fluke or what?
It was a total fluke. I mean, there's really no like secret sauce. Like I wish I could tell you like, you know, what type of video goes viral, but it really depends on the person. It varies. Like so many random things can go viral. I think the main advice I would say for going viral is just to stay consistent and, you know, posting as much as you want, experimenting with different things. I was experimenting a lot. I was doing dance videos and they weren't performing well. And then one day I posted a fitness video that went crazy. And I thought to myself, okay, I guess I should make more fitness videos. Right. Did that for a while until that died out. And then one day I was like, okay, like let's try a beauty video, just trying a cool beauty product. And that did well. Okay, so now what should we do? So kind of just assessing your platform, like self-analyzing, seeing what performs best for you, because it's really different for every single person.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
I absolutely love that first firing up of the grill on a warm summer evening. Do you or someone else in your home take grilling as seriously as I do? The Burger Perfection Pack is an incredible deal for just $99.99. This exclusive package includes 20 of Omaha Steaks' mouthwatering steak burgers. That's four of each of their finest burgers. Pure ground filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. Only available at omahasteaks.com. Impress your next dinner party or family cookout with exclusive products not available at grocery stores. All backed by Omaha Steaks' 100% money-back guarantee. Get ready for grilling season with the mouth-watering Omaha Steaks Burger Perfection Pack, plus 8 free Wagyu Smash Burgers for just $99.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and as a bonus, use promo code YUM to get $35 off your order. That's $35 off with promo code YUM. Terms apply. See site for details.
So again, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like one of the biggest things you do right now is the product reviews. Is that still something that's really popular for you?
So do
these companies send products to you and it's a barter deal? You talk about them. How many products are you getting on any given week? What's that like?
So it depends. Not every video I post is a sponsored post. So I do get lots of products gifted during the week, but a lot of the stuff I post is just products that I like and that I already use and that I buy, because I want people to look to me as, you know, kind of the every girl, like someone who actually is using these products. Like, it's not stuff that I just, you know, look out for, I guess, and like request, I guess, in the film. So I think, yes, I do a lot of brand promos because it's easy for me, because it authentically like folds into my page. Like, I do product reviews across the board. I can promote a fitness product, a beauty product, fashion product. It's very easy to pick up any niche for a brand promo, but it's not every single video I make.
Right. And now in the past, and even now, you're like a contributing editor talking about different things with all sorts of mediums, right? So, I mean, do you consider yourself someone who is heavily invested in beauty and fashion? Do you like that, those trends? Do you follow them closely?
So I used to a lot. I actually used to have a fashion blog, and I definitely follow the fashion very closely. I think, I go to like New York Fashion Week every year. Over the past like year or so, I've tried to like branch out a little more and explore like all niches. Like, I didn't know much about sports, and I was like, okay, this might be something that I need to write about one day. So I'm going to try and explore that a little more, because as a journalist, like, you have to be well-versed. And I feel like I had so many years like working on the beauty and the fashion stuff. So I'm trying to work on my weaknesses and try and improve on types of writing that I'm not used to doing.
Right. What are some of your favorite products that someone has sent you that you were surprised about that you didn't know of before?
I've done a lot of fake freckles. I think those perform well on TikTok.
Like, what is that?
I have no idea. People are like obsessed with getting fake freckles for some reason. So I've tried like every fake freckle product on the market.
Honestly, I didn't even know that a product existed for that. That's hysterical. Okay.
So that maybe that's one type of thing that I probably wouldn't wear on the daily, but it's interesting to people. And I just tried it in a funny way. It looked terrible on me, but I just wanted to show what it was like. That was a funny one I did. I do a lot of like cool makeup collabs. So one of my most viral videos is MAC Stranger Things collection. So it really varies. I mean, you never know like what you're going to get out of my page in a week.
Right, right. That's amazing. And that's why I think people keep coming back, right? Okay, so let's get into your book that comes out tomorrow. I have it right here. I thought it was adorable. My daughter stole it from me halfway through and was like, Mom, I'm reading this. So, which is super cool. It's partly a memoir, but it's really giving advice for teens about how to navigate in the world of love and all sorts of stuff. How would you categorize it? What's your favorite part? What do you want people to take from it?
Okay, so this book, I really did not want it to be a dating guide. I feel like that word I associate with, you know, like a middle-aged woman writing a book telling teenagers how to date. And like, that's really the only type of dating guide you have out there. So this is part memoir, part like manifesto is what I say. So it's a memoir. Each chapter is dedicated to one of my personal experiences in dating. So each chapter represents a different guy that I cross paths with, and sprinkled in there are like little tidbits of helpful advice that I learned along the way. But it was really important for me not to tell teenagers how to date, who to date, or, you know, give them rules for dating. I really just wanted them to enjoy themselves, read through my experience, and be able to organically relate. And as I'm learning the lessons, they learn along with me. As I'm making mistakes, they're hopefully making mistakes and learning with me, because they're going through this as I'm going through this. I'm their peer in this experience.
Right. So
that's my main hope, I think, for the book, just that people are able to relate, feel like they're not alone in going through dating, because it's really hard. And some of those dating guides out there just don't depict it in an authentic way. And, you know, as I wrote this when I was a teenager, I know more than anyone what they're going through.
Right. And what you will learn as you get older is that those first loves and those teen relationships actually stay with you forever. My first kiss was somebody that I've dated on and off for 25 years. Mm-hmm. And it's someone that, you know, you always remember your first love. It's different, or those first experiences while you're a teenager. It's never really the same as you get older. And it's a different innocent love, which also affects you in a way that can be more, you know, you get more of an effect than when you're older and your life experience has already, you know, been integrated into your life. So I think, you know, those teen years of love and experience are so important and impactful, and people, you know, need to give them more credibility as well. I think it's an adorable book. I hope it does really well for you. And I think that you talk about something at the end, that the most important love you should have is love for yourself and your self-esteem. Talk a little bit about that and how you came up with that.
So as I mentioned, each chapter is dedicated to a different guy and a different relationship that I had. And at the end, I was really struggling with how to end the book, because I didn't want it to be just another guy. I didn't want to, you know, find like a guy that was like the hero. Like, I was my own hero.
Yeah, so that's so important.
That's how I really wanted to end the book. I was going through anxiety as I was writing the book, mm-hmm. just in my own like personal life. And I was kind of keeping both worlds separate. So, you know, like I mentioned, directing your energy into something you're passionate about when you're feeling anxious. My outlet was my book. Mm-hmm. And I never really tied those two things together, my anxiety and my book, mm-hmm. until I needed an ending for my book. And I realized that all of these things I'd been going through, all these anxious thoughts that I had been having, only made me a stronger person in mm-hmm. life, in love, in dating. And I feel like after going through this whole anxiety journey, I have such a strong sense of self-worth. And I came out the other end just knowing, you know, the type of person I am and the type of love that I deserve. And right. that's why I wanted to end this book about self-love. You hear all the time, you can't love others until you love yourself. But that could not be more true. Like, you hear it all the time, but I really elaborate on what it means to love yourself. It means to look in the mirror and, you know, not, you know, love yourself every day, but realize that you are wholeheartedly a good person and that you deserve everything, and owning your emotions and owning your vulnerability when it's hard. And all of those aspects are self-love. It's not just looking in the mirror and hyping yourself up and saying, you know, I look hot today. It's so much more than that. And that's the type of message that I want to give my readers at the end of this book.
Yeah. I mean, it's different than like an ego kind of putting yourself on a pedestal, but it's really choosing yourself when situations you're in might not be the best situation, or you think you need a guy or a girl, whoever you're dating, and you realize you're better off without them because your self-worth is much better than the way that they're treating you. So I think that's a really important lesson to learn early in life, because so many people, it takes them decades to learn that lesson. So I think that's terrific. So I just have a couple quick questions for you, short questions. What is your binge on TV right now?
My binge on TV right now? Okay, this is so random and don't make fun of me. I haven't had much time to watch TV lately with the book, but mm-hmm. the one thing that I go to when I have time is It Cake on Netflix.
Oh yes, I know that. Okay.
It's a cooking show. It's just so fun, but it's like so cringe, but it's so fun. So I watch it anyway.
Okay, good answer. Do you watch reality TV?
Hell yeah. I was on a reality TV show. I have a chapter in my book about it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give too much away, but I give some behind the scenes secrets. It was not all that. Right. So I watch it, but I'm not a big fan.
Well, okay. So we won't give too much away there, but can we say you are on the next influencer
and
what that was like for you being on a show like that?
Oh, it was horrible. I'm so open about it now. Yeah, it was horrible. I mean, it's just like reality TV is not reality. I'm a huge fan of shows like The Bachelor, and I watch shows like that and think like it's all real until I was in a situation myself. Mm-hmm. And I realized like, it's not like everything just feels like you're in like a manufactured universe. Like it just does not feel realistic. And I mean, without talking too much about like the actual reality show, I think I went into it thinking it was going to be like a Bachelor type scenario. Like I'm in a content house with a bunch of influencers. Maybe I'll find like a guy for me. And I only found like assholes.
Right. And then also I saw that there was some conflict, right, with a girl. You had thought she, or you felt bullied within the group. She suggested that you were making that up, and that became kind of a bully moment in and of itself. Just watching some of those videos of how that went down in the confrontation. How did you feel about being put in that situation?
It was super frustrating. I mean, as someone who's like a no bully ambassador, I feel like when I say I'm feeling bullied, that's like not to be taken lightly. And in the reality TV world where, you know, I'm in a house with people who are like over the age of 21, they don't want to be called a bully. They don't want their, you know, reputation to be wrecked. So as soon as I break out, you know, the bully word, it's like, you know, all claws are out. Yeah. So it was really tough to try and like defend myself against, I think there were like 11 people in that house, let alone like producers running around playing into the whole thing. So I think overall, like it was really tough, but it made me a stronger person. And I think, you know, in my chapter about it, you really hear my side of the story.
Yeah. And you definitely, just from the videos I've watched, held your ground in a respectful way. So I thought you did a good job. Who do you follow? Like, who do you think is just the coolest right now?
Like an influencer?
Yeah, anybody really.
Basic answer, but I will explain why. I think the D'Amelio girls, Charli and Dixie D'Amelio, are fantastic influencers.
Okay.
Like, I think there's a reason why they have the following they do. Yes, like Charli's a great dancer, Dixie's a great singer. They're so much more than that. I think the way that they're so open about, you know, their mental health and how difficult it is to just fall into the spotlight randomly and get overnight fame, it's relatable not only to me as an influencer, but to so many young girls out there who are struggling with their own self-esteem. To see Charli post a photo with her acne or Dixie talk about her anxiety, I think they're both fantastic role models and people that, you know, people should look up to, young girls should look up to.
And my daughter is obsessed with them. And I remember they got a show and it kind of really showed a different side of them. I mean, you only saw them on Instagram or wherever, looking like they were having the time of their lives. And then that show really translates to the fact that it was very hard for them to deal with the mental health that came with it and to deal with being in the public eye like that and having producers follow them. Do you agree with that? Did you notice that?
I think the show was great. And I could relate a lot because on the outside, you look like you're having a time, you have all these followers, all these perks of being an influencer, but behind the scenes, it's really hard.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you can't hang out with your friends as much as you want to. I have this sentence in my book, like, I may seem like the girl who has it all on the outside, but I'm just a normal 20-year-old girl going to college, trying to make friends, trying to, you know, make a name for herself in like the journalism world. Like, I'm working just as hard as every other person out there. And sometimes you don't realize that when you just see a number online.
Right. Okay. Let's talk about fashion for 1 second. Mm-hmm. What are we wearing this fall? So my daughter only freaks out over Lululemon and Aviator Nation. Like that cannot keep
going. Oh, I love your daughter. That's me.
So those are still in style. Give me something that is like a tip for later on in the next couple months so that I can get there before everyone else.
Okay, so Lululemon, Aviator Nation, Love Shack Fancy, that's all like preppy style. So I feel like those will always be staples, like no matter what season. Mm-hmm. I think it depends on what age. I think as a 20-year-old, I can talk for like people in Gen Z, like my generation.
Okay.
It pains me to say this, But blazers, I used to hate blazers, but wow, blazers are so chic now. Like, you see everyone wearing a blazer, not just to the office, but to school, like a brightly colored blazer. I interned this past summer at the New York Post, and I get compliments every day on my blazers. So apparently blazers are the way to go. I was just at Fashion Week yesterday, and this is for the spring season, but I guess, well, this is a trend for the spring season, but there's a lot of roses coming up, and I feel like I have to mention it because, you know, roses all over.
Yes. Amazing.
I was like texting my mom, and I was like, you would not believe like what the trend is for this spring. This is perfect. Like, everyone's wearing roses this fashion week. So that's a big one. That's two seasons away.
Okay. And what about for teens in particular? Is there something new besides Aviator Nation that's going to be cool?
I think, hot take here, I think originality is trending. Wear whatever you want.
Okay. That's the
main thing. I don't really look to trends as much as I used to as a fashion blogger. I think you should just wear what makes you feel comfortable.
That's a really good answer. Okay. So what can we expect from you in the future? I know you shut down the fact that you were going to turn into some big actress. So yeah. short term, is there anything you're working on? And then big term, what's on your bucket list?
Sure. So short term, I want to finish college. I have two more semesters left. So that's, you know, mostly, I guess, top priority list next to promoting the book. I'm going on a book tour in 2 weeks, which is really exciting. Well, I guess by the time this episode comes out, it's going to be the week of. Yeah. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of a long-term goal for my book, I'd love to see this turn into a TV series at one point, a Gen Z Sex in the City that teenagers will love and enjoy on the Disney Channel, on Netflix. I feel like that would be so fun. Like, having each episode a different guy experience. Gold. Right.
That is amazing. Okay. You've heard it here. We're putting that out in the universe.
Yes.
What is the most misunderstood thing about teens and mental health?
That we go through it. I mean, it sounds so basic, but just because we're young and we don't have a lot of life under our belt doesn't mean that we don't feel things and, you know, hurt sometimes and really hurt, not just because, you know, we got a bad grade on a test, but because adulting is hard. Mm-hmm. So I think you look at a teenager who cries for help sometimes and you see him and you go, you know, oh, she's just being a kid. Like, oh, it's not a big deal. But when your kid cries for help, you should listen, no matter how old they are. So I think that's the biggest misunderstanding, just that we do go through things. And just because we're under the age of 21 doesn't mean we don't hurt sometimes, just like adults do.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like for even your very young age, you've been through it. What would you say is something that you've, you know, been through that you feel misunderstood, that is kind of a universal theme that people can understand? I mean, I think it's pretty universal that everyone feels misunderstood, if not now, in the past. What's something misunderstood about you that you want people to know?
I think for me as an influencer, I feel misunderstood because people look at my social media and they don't see me as anything more than just an influencer. And that's something other people can relate to as well, because we see these photos online and it looks like, you know, this perfect, a picture perfect life. And we don't really think about what goes on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for me and for so many other people, like, behind the scenes, we could be struggling. It doesn't really matter what's going on in the outside. I mean, I'm just a normal 20-year-old girl. And just because I have, you know, a million followers on Instagram doesn't mean that I'm not going through it myself.
Yeah. And I think that is so actually important to mention, because social media is, it's a lot of smoke and mirrors, right? So people get so swept up in thinking that that's what people's lives are like, or they're just showing the best photos clearly of what's going on. And it's okay to go through bad times. It's okay to have a pendulum of life. In my opinion, you have to experience that pendulum. You have to experience one side, which is the sadness, the hurt, the feeling really low, and kind of marinating in it and learning from it to be able to experience that same level of happiness and the highs and feeling proud of yourself. Because with that pendulum, you get to see the arc of right. life. And I think it's really important. And people should remember, especially young people, that you don't always have to be happy. You don't always have to be looking in love and like things are great. It's okay, because everyone understands what it's like to not have your best day, right?
I always say joy and anxiety can coexist at the same time. You can be enjoying, I don't know, a picnic at the park, but at the same time, be feeling super anxious for no particular reason. And that's okay. Like, our emotions, negative and positive, can coexist. And that's something that I feel like is often misunderstood as well. Like, teenagers feel like, you know, they're having a good time and all of a sudden they get like a negative thought, or, you know, like a burst of anxiety or like a heart palpitation. And it's like, oh my God, like something's wrong with me. And you kind of just have to stay grounded and realize, like, it's okay. I'm present in this moment. Yes, I'm having fun right now. And I'm also having anxiety. And those two things can coexist.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great advice. Okay. Where can people get my real life rom-com? Let them know where they can buy it.
So, by the time this podcast comes out, the book will be out tomorrow. You can get my real life rom-com. You can pre-order it now if you can't wait, but it's officially available tomorrow on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Target, basically anywhere that they sell books.
Awesome. It's a great read. If you feel like it doesn't apply to you, it definitely applies to someone you know, your child, your cousin, whoever. I'm telling you, my daughter is working her way through it, and I read it myself and I thought it was fantastic. So good luck to you, Carrie. I wish you the best, and I can't wait to see what you come up with in the future. You're such a superstar. But I really appreciate it. I thought it was a great episode.
Thank you. I'd love to meet you and your daughter sometime. She sounds so cool.
Oh, you're so cute. And I love the fact that you guys went to PS6.
I love PS6. I'm still like, I know Miss Fontana, her principal.
Yes.
Yeah. We're still like very close with Miss Fontana.
Great. It was such a great school, and she loved the peer mediator program. And we just moved to Palm Beach, and she goes to a private school down here. And I actually brought up to the school that they should start a peer mediation program because PS6 did such a good job. So
really did.
No one had ever heard of that before. I was like, oh my God, this was the greatest program. So I love that it had such an impact on you.
It did. I've been talking about it since I was 8. I'm 20, 12 years.
So
I've been talking about it.
Yeah. And my daughter is such a sweet girl, because like, you can't, even if I find that I say something the slightest bit with a tone, she's like, Mom, that shouldn't be the way that you think about things. You know, she's really calm.
So good.
I know, it really is good. So I really attribute that to PS6. I'm very lucky that she went there. And I pulled her out of private school to send her there during COVID. So I feel like she really did get a good education. I'm proud of that school.
It's a fantastic school. And happy that it's still, you know, continuing the legacy.
Yes, for sure. All right. So if we're ever in New York, I'm going to text you. And if you ever make it down to the Palm Beach area, we're going to
love Palm Beach. I'll be there.
Okay, cool. All right. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.